Certainly good to see everyone today. It's good to be here with you. Hope that you can be back tonight at 5:30 for our series of lessons that we've studied on why they left. Tonight we're going to talk about evangelism, and it's going to be a little bit of a different approach. We talk about evangelism. We talk about the need to evangelize and the need to reach out. And tonight's lesson will be geared around maybe some of the strategies and some of the ideas that relate to the responsibility of evangelism. And so I hope that you can be back tonight as we look at that subject. Don't forget to grab one of the devotionals on the way out today. Having the fellowship meal last week made it a little different, and a lot of people didn't leave where they were, so there's still some of those left. If you want to grab one of those, this month is entirely dedicated to Thanksgiving, to being thankful. And so if you didn't grab one of those last week, you might want to grab those and get one of the new ones this week as you exit the building today. Go ahead and be opening your Bibles to the book of Luke. That'll be our first scripture today. But as we think about evangelism, this morning I wanted to kind of go over and talk about maybe some confusion that some may have as it relates to coming to Christ. What does it take to come to Christ? What does God require of you to come to Him and be His servant? We may know the answers that sound right. You know, we may know what we think we should say here, but do we actually believe it? And here's the real question. How many people feel unqualified to be a Christian? How many people feel unqualified to come to God to begin with? And so as we prepare tonight to talk a little bit about evangelism and think about what our responsibility is as it relates to sharing and spreading the gospel, I think an important principle today that I wanted to talk about and discuss was how we come to God, how we come to Christ. And as we think about folks who may not be coming to church or who may not be Christians, one of the important things for them to understand is they need to come as they are. They need to come as they are. What requirements does God place on us in order to come to Him? Are there any specific requirements that have to be met before you can come to Christ? Are there classes we have to take? Are there a certain level of righteousness we have to attain? Is there something specific about the Bible we need to specifically know before we can come and seek to know more about God, to come to Him? Well, I think the answer to that is obviously no. God places no requirements on us to come to Him. God doesn't have a list of subjects that He expects us to know before He would even let us come in His presence. God doesn't have that list of requirements. God will take us as we are, where we are. We just must make the decision to come to Him. As we think back to the disciples, to kind of illustrate the point, when Jesus chose His disciples, those men that would travel closest to Him, where did He go? If you were going to start and build a new religion, if you're going to start a movement, where would you go to find the people to help you move that movement along? Would you go to a church? Would you go to a priest? Would you go to find somebody who is very religious? You would have probably a list of requirements and a list of qualities that you would look for. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9 says Jesus went to a tax collector. Jesus went to Matthew and called Matthew as he was sitting at his tax booth. This was a Jew who collected taxes for the Romans. Is that where you would have begun? Was that the requirements you would have made for your disciples? Or what about Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 20 that talk about Jesus calling Peter, Andrew, James, and John? Where did he call them from? Did he call them from a synagogue? Did he call them from a gathering, a religious gathering? They were fishing. He called them from their jobs as fishermen to be his disciples. What requirements did Jesus have? Jesus' requirements were more about what was on the inside than what the world would see. Come as you are. Come from where you are. In Luke chapter 5, furthering the story of the call of Matthew. Luke chapter 5, beginning of verse 29. And Levi made him a great feast in his house, and there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at table with them. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Where was Jesus? He was eating with these people that those who were righteous or who were religious looked at and said, "Why would you spend your time with them? Why would you call them? Why would you give them the time?" And Jesus says, "Those who are well don't need a physician, but those who are sick." He came to seek and save the lost. He came to call sinners to repentance. Jesus came for those people, and he accepted those people as they were. And then he gave himself and taught them about his gospel. The only requirement is that we want to come. God's not going to force anybody to follow him. God's not going to force anybody to approach him. There's no education requirement. There's no level of righteousness. It's simply that we want to come to him. So come as you are. And then start with where you are. Start with where you are. Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 26, tells us a story. It tells the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. There's a great evangelistic principle at play here that I think is important as we think about reaching others, as we think about accepting others, letting others come as they are. We need to start with where they are. Verse 26, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place.' And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and join this chariot.' So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' And he said, 'How can I unless someone guides me?' And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him." And here's an Ethiopian eunuch. Unique in his own way because he went to Jerusalem to worship. But he's reading through the prophet Isaiah. And specifically, he's reading about Jesus. He's reading from 53 that talks about the sheep that was led to slaughter. And he's wanting to understand what he's reading about. In verse 34, it says, "About whom, I asked, does this prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" And here's the important point that I want to see from this. "Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus." Where did Philip go? Where did he begin his discussion with the eunuch? He began where he was. He began at the point the eunuch was. He didn't start over. He didn't say, "Well, you got to know this, this, and this before we can talk about this." He simply started with where he was. You know, like the eunuch, it's important that we start where we are, with what we know and grow from that point. And for anyone that we reach, anyone that we reach out to that wants to be a Christian, that wants to know more about God, you have to start with where they are. What do they know? It can be very simple to say, well, we teach the plan of salvation. You got to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. What if they don't know what that is? What if they don't know? Well, you got to live faithful. What if their foundation needs to begin with God created the heavens and the earth? Jesus is God's Son. We got to begin with where they are. We got to begin with what they know. In order to be able to move forward, we accept them as they are. Come as you are. And start with where you are. And forget where you've been. Forget where you've been. There are those who feel unqualified to be Christians, who feel unqualified to come to God or to return to God because of where they've been, because of what they've done, because of mistakes made in the past. They feel like that maybe there are people in the church that won't accept them, or maybe that God won't accept them, and that they just don't meet His standard. Unfortunately, there's a lot of misinformation out there that the church would frown, or that people from the church would frown on sinners who want to return. That can't be further from the truth of what a real Christian would look at. The joy that comes from a sinner who comes back, or from one who turns to God for the first time, is a feeling that can't be matched. It's difficult for some to overcome. But it's important to notice that God does not look at them in that way. We illustrate that with John chapter 8 this morning. In John chapter 8, you have Jesus being confronted. And I think it's important to understand that this whole setup was to confront Jesus and to test Jesus. And you have this woman who was caught in adultery. Well, what I want you to notice is how Jesus reacts in this scenario. The scribes, verse 3 of John chapter 8, the scribes and Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and placing her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" This they said to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask, he stood up and said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Can you imagine this sight? There's no question about the guilt here. The Bible doesn't argue the guilt. Obviously, there would be two guilty parties, and there might be a question as to why the other one's not there. But this woman is guilty of sin. And they bring her to Jesus simply to catch Jesus. Jesus would have none of it. He doesn't take the bait. And what he really does is write on the ground. Don't have any idea what he wrote. But he stoops to write on the ground. And the only thing he really says is, "Okay, if you don't have sin, then you can throw your rock. You can throw your stone." And as they begin to drop their stones and walk away, we find this interesting dynamic of the only two people left here is the woman who was caught and Jesus. What did Jesus have the right to say here? Could he have chastised the woman for her behavior? Could he have said, you know, you should not do that? There's all sorts of things he could have said. But notice what he said. Verse 10. Jesus stood up and said to her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. Go and from now on sin no more. How did Jesus deal with the guilty? Go, sin no more. I don't condemn you. Did he accept her as she was? Yeah, he did. Doesn't matter where we've been. Forget where we've been. And for people who want to come to God, it's important for them to not be concerned with the past, but concerned with right now and where we can go. Luke 15, in the story of the prodigal son, when the son returns and God gives us a picture of the father standing at the road, what lecture did the father give that son when he returned? I shared this with our Bible class Wednesday night, and I said there were two kids named Jonathan and Trenton. Had they done what that son did, that would have probably gotten a little bit of, I told you so, you shouldn't have done that. We'd have had to have a little discussion. What did the father do? Not only did he not lecture, not only did he not judge and condemn, he accepted him back fully. That's God. No one should worry about where they've been. If they want to come to Christ, if they want their sins forgiven, if they want to be right with God, you can be. Come as you are and move forward with God from there. And don't ever let anyone else hold you back. So we see those stories in the New Testament. We saw two examples there of them frowning on Jesus for eating with those sinners. Catching this woman in adultery. People were holding other people back. And that can happen just as well today. The story of the prodigal son. You have the older brother who doesn't want the brother to return. And unfortunately there are some people that are alive today who will hold grudges and who do hold people back. Guess what? God doesn't hold you back. Come as you are. Start where you are. Forget where you've been. And understand that no one can separate us from God if we choose to follow Him. Romans 8, verse 37. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from God. Nothing can take away God's love. Nothing can come between us and God if we give ourselves to Him. No one can alter God's love for us. For those who may be outside of the church, for those who have left the church, for those who have not returned to Him and haven't given their lives to Him. We've got a message for them. That message is a different message than the world gives. God accepts you as you are. If you want to be His, He accepts you as you are. You don't have to know everything about the Bible. You don't have to answer every question. There are still questions today that I really don't know the answer to. And there are scriptures that are very difficult to work our way through. I may never know the answer to all of these. And there are a lot of scholars on some of these verses that have so many different opinions. There's a lot of things to know. You don't have to know everything. Start with where you are. And then it doesn't matter where you've been. God doesn't hold our past against us. He accepts us in the present and can take us to where we need to be. God accepts us as we are. We may need to make changes. We may need to repent. We may need to do some things in order to get in line with God's Word. But He accepts us as we are. If we'll come to Him as we are and start with where we are, He'll take us where we need to be. The question that we have to ask, not only ourselves, but for those that need the Lord, for those that are outside of His favor, for those that need an encouragement to come back, we need to ask them, are you ready to come? Do you need to come to Him? Because He's ready to accept you. We have an opportunity this morning. If anyone here needs to make something right with the Lord or get back right with Him or give themselves to Him, we have an opportunity to do that. And be thinking about those that we can reach, those who we can encourage, and those that we can help in any way. This morning, if you have a need, won't you come as we stand and sing? Softly and tenderly, Jesus is coming.